Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
All right. I mean, God is just adding to the church, isn't he? Amen. We thank God for it. Thank God for all the families that were represented today. Thank you for coming and supporting your family. And we just thank God for you. Before we go any further, do anybody have a birthday in this month? Any birthdays? We had one, two, three. Woo, Lord. There. Yes, Gina Southern, her birthday's today. She's back with the kids. So let's just sing happy birthday to all these December birthday babies. Oh, man. Did you have your hand up? Today, oh, Miss PJ. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Thank you. Yes. And I think the one that Miss Jean, I think she's in the nursery today. So hopefully she heard us back here. Yes, sir. And today is Miss PJ's birthday. Happy birthday, Miss PJ. And all of you that had birthdays, I've seen the hands, Eric. Okay, amen. Yes, everybody, thank God for you. Amen. And so glad to see Pastor Terry, Miss Brenda, and all of you. Just glad to see all of you. Amen. And how many know God is so good? Amen. Yes, he is. I'm going to talk to you this morning, just share some things that I feel that God has put on my heart. And what we're going to talk about this morning is the light. The light, okay? And I want to read this. It's the fulfillment came in this in Matthew's 4, I think it's verse 14. But we want to go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and the first verse. We'll read probably the, I think it's 6 or 9 verses of that, okay? All right, Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and it began reading, and it says, but there will be no more gloom for her whom was in agony. In early times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, I think I'm pronouncing these words right, with contentment. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea and on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations, and you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you will break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppression, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle and the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For there is no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it with, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then on the foremore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now I want to draw your attention to just a few things here. And notice it said, unto us a child will be born. Okay? For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. You know, and so we're living in that time now that we're celebrating the event of Jesus Christ, his birth. You know, and so many signs says, you know, that he is the reason for the season. Okay? But I'm not challenging that. But in reality, how many know that we are the reason for the season? Because he wasn't lost. He wasn't in darkness. Amen? See, and when we say that, I'm not challenging, you know, the commercials and all that. Please don't take it that way. But the truth of the matter is, we are the reason for the season. Why? Because Jesus came to do what? To redeem man back to God. So we are the reason. And he was the light. Notice it says that, I want to back up here and just go over a few verses. It says, and the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Another word for that, another translation, will see the dawning of a new day. We'll see the dawning of a new day. Okay? So how many know that Jesus brought about a new day for us? Okay? So the Bible says that the people who walk in darkness will see great light. And those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. And you will multiply the nations, and you will increase their gladness, and they will be glad in his presence. They will be glad in his presence. Okay? Now, I want you to go with me to St. John, because now how many know that Jesus is the light of the world, okay? He's the light that we're going to talk about today. Do you realize that the world was lying total darkness? And they call it the silent years. I think it's from Malachi to Matthew, about 400 years. Well, that was just silence. There was no word coming forth. And Isaiah was prophesying this about the Messiah that will come, the light will come to those that were in darkness. And I mean, the whole world was in darkness. Can you imagine that you're in this room and you cut the lights off, everything goes down, and everything is just black dark. But I mean, just a little glimpse of a light would draw hope. Okay, so you got to understand that the world, what it meant, the world was lying in darkness. And darkness came about because of the results of what? Sin. You know, they brought sin on all the human race. But when the Bible says that, but Jesus, when Isaiah began to prophesy and he's relating about what's about to take place, you know, and he said his name will be called what? Wonderful Counselor. And that word wonderful, what that word means in the Hebrew, the word is pronounced, it's not wonderful, it's pronounced wonder. One that would bring wonder. And how many know Jesus bought wonders? Amen? And it said that he was a counselor. See, but sometimes in our minds, I believe we think that Jesus came to really bring us to a place to where we would be burdened down. But notice it said that he will remove the yoke and the burden. Okay? And I mean, and Jesus did that, okay? So what we have to understand is that there's one thing is this. Understand this, that he didn't come to bring doom and gloom, okay? Number two, he didn't come to be a burden or to bring judgment, okay? Number three, he came that you will rejoice in his presence, okay? So the presence was wrapped in a manger in the babe, Jesus, okay? So when he came, he had a purpose, and that purpose was to bring light to the world. And we're going to see that when, let's look in St. Okay, St. John 8 and 12, Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus. He said, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light. He said to him, you testify about yourself, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I came from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone in it, but I and my Father who sent me. Okay? Now watch this. John 1, St. John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. And notice Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I didn't come to do what? Bring judgment. Okay? John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, pause for a minute. The life was the light of men. Okay? Remember, we're talking about the light. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. He said, I am the light that came into the world. Those that were in darkness, I come to give them light. Amen? So, I mean, you know, we can all adjust and we can all testify that we were all in darkness at one time. I mean, remember the little song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. You say, well, what does that have to do? That tells you the story. It's amazing grace that has been available to us. And John is saying here, the light is the life of God. See, and what Jesus came, the Bible says in John 10 and 10, he said, the thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you might have what? Life, not only life, but life more abundantly. And Jesus said, the life that I'm talking about here is Zoe, the life of God, the high life, the life that will dispel darkness. See, darkness can't overcome the light. Why? Because the light represents what? The life of God. And the life of God is on the inside of us. So we are now becoming what? Light bearers. So what John is saying here, he's saying that all things were made through him. Okay, John 9 and verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12 and 46 says, I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Everyone who what remains in me, I believe in me and will remain in me, will not remain in darkness. In other words, it's dispelling the darkness. It's kicking the darkness out. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. See, and Jesus wants to save the world. He's wanting to save humanity. See, and I know a lot of people say, well, you know, what does this have to do with darkness? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people still in darkness that need the light shined on them. Now, the purpose of the light is not to bring condemnation, but the light is to expose, to show what's going on in the dark, okay? And the Bible says that thy word is what? A lamp under my, and a light under my path. Do you not know that in order for a light, for a lamp to burn, it has to have oil? So what the Holy Spirit does, he pours oil in us so the light can burn. Amen? And see, that's the problem. A lot of times we try to substitute for the Holy Spirit, but we can't. See, there's nothing, the Holy Spirit is the oil of God that will cause us to shine and glow as lights. It's the life of God that's on the inside of us that's glowing. That's the life that he's talking about here. I'm not talking about just turn on a light or a light switch. I'm talking about a eternal light, which is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And he came so that we would be light bearers. Amen? And when he came and gave us his life, what he was really doing is setting us up to become the lights of the world. And we'll get there in just a little bit if we have enough time, okay? But let's go to John one more time here. I got one more John for you. It's in John 3 and verse 16. So the life that we're talking about, the light that we're talking about, John said, the life is the light, the life, the light is the life of men, all women, mankind, humanity, okay? Now, let's look at John 3:16. We know John 3:16, but we're going to read it anyway, okay? All right, it says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, we are the reason for the season. Notice what God didn't need. God didn't need anything. He was already complete with it. We're the ones that needed something. So he said, they're the one that need, and the Bible also, it says this. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured what? The cross. See, and it was all, he was coming to do what? Save humanity. All right? Now, let's go to John 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Okay? What is eternal life? If you look at John 17, Jesus said this. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know me, the true and living God. In other words, what he's saying there, that they may know me, they may experience me, who is the true and living God. And when Jesus came and he came to this place where there was darkness, what Jesus was doing was making available for us to have a relationship that we can experience Almighty God. And see, in that life, it's not a religion. When you have life, I mean, you know, that you begin to experience the life of God. And see, out of that life, let me share this, out of that life comes what? Joy. Out of that life comes what? Peace. All that, out of that life comes for what? For patience and all these things. The life of God is so great and grand to where we can't afford to try to fake it till you make it, because I mean, you know, it's too real to try to fake it. And see, the realness of him, this is what has been available for us, is that we can have the realness of God. And the realness of God, the life of God, will cause us to be people of what? Joy and peace. Why? Because of the life of God that's on the inside of me. Apart from that, guess what? I'm just a natural man walking this earth with no hope. But when I got the life of God on the inside of me, it gives me hope. It gives me hope. It gives me peace. It gives me joy. And some people say, well, how can I experience this joy? In his presence that's been made available for you. See, the presence wasn't available for us when we were in sin, but once we come to him, now the presence of the Lord is available for us, and in his presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. And at his right hand is what? Pleasures forevermore. Who is at the right hand of God? Jesus Christ. And he brings pleasure for us. It's not a doom and gloom that we have received, amen, but it is a joyful thing to be in relationship with the God that created the moon and the stars, amen, and the ones that call him the Ancient of Days, amen. He's the one that we're joyful about. But sometimes it's just too good to be true. It's just too good to be true. But I'm telling you, that it's that good. And it's that freedom. It's the free that he gives it to us. See, we don't have to work for this. We don't have to beg and plead for it. It's a gift that's been given to us. Do you realize if you begin to read the Bible, everything that God has did for us is a gift. You don't have to work for gifts. Gifts are made to be what? Thank you. Received. How many ever received a gift and you say, oh, Lord. Nah. There you go. Thank you. Even if it's something you don't like, you say, thank you. But how many know his gifts are excellent? Amen. And that's what he's a gift to us, all right? So let's look at it. It says that in verse 17, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, and let me just kind of talk about this. See, he didn't come to judge us or to condemn us, but he come to give us life. See, and we got to get out of the mentality and our thinking that God came to really bring doom and gloom, but he did not send his son to bring doom and gloom. And I know it's too good to be true. You said, that's just too easy to just believe. But how many know it's that simple? You just have to believe what he's done and accomplished for you. It's not a work that we have to perform and pump up. But how many know once you get him, you have his presence. You have his presence. And that presence go wherever you go. You know, it's almost like when the children of Israel were coming through the wilderness. How many know they had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that led them. And it was considered the presence of God that will hover over them. But now the presence of God is not hovering over us. It's in us. And I mean to know his presence is in me by the Holy Spirit. He's been put in me. So therefore, I cannot escape his presence. Why? Because his presence is in me. And that's the life and that's the oil that caused the light to burn that we become light bearers in this dark world. Amen? So what John is saying here is he didn't send his son into the world to judge or to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. All right? Let's look at verse 19. This is, verse 18. For he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has not been judged, has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay? Now, what he's saying here is that because Jesus have came and he's paid the price, there is no condemnation or judgment to you. Why? Because the judgment that we deserve was poured out on him, according to Romans, okay? Now, there is a judgment coming, but how many know it ain't for the church? We have to understand that. Some people say, well, I'm not going to be judged. How many know? We will give an account of our deeds, okay? but we're not being judged. See why? Because now that we have received Christ and his righteousness, now guess what? When we receive Christ and his righteousness, there is no judgment for us. We escape the judgment through Christ. And that's why people, they're not going to hell because of their sin. They're going to hell because they reject the Son of God. See, I'm telling you, God has made this so simple for us to where we think we try to make it complicated by what? Rules and regulations and all these do's and don'ts. But you got to understand, when you're in relationship with him, he's leading and guiding you into what? All truth. Amen? So when we look at this, we got to understand that when Jesus is saying here is, look, watch what verse 19, he said, and this is a judgment, that light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light. And I know we're living in a day and time now that people are trying to call light dark and dark light. But you got to understand, the true life of God will not be put out. Darkness will not overtake it or overpower it. Amen? And we can say it another way. Sin won't even overpower it. Why? Because it's the life of God that's on the inside of us. See, and when we realize that it's his life living in me and his life that's living out of me, amen, I'm experiencing this glorious light of God, amen, and what the light does, it illuminates. Another word for it brings what? Revelation. It reveals things. See, and what the light does, it exposes darkness. You say, wow. Okay, verse 20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be what? Manifested as having been wrought in God, aright in God. Okay? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And notice Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light. But now he's getting ready to transfer that light to us. Okay? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says what? It says, let me just back up, verse 13, okay? It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14, for ye are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be what? Hidden. So you are the light. Why? Why are you the light? Because the life of God is on the inside of you. See? And that life that's on the inside of you is so powerful that it exposes sin and all those things. That, see, the thing that I've learned in a relationship with God is, he shines light on the errors, the things that we need to let go of. See, he shines light on the things that he's saying, I want that out of your life. See, and it's not something that I have to pretend, but I need to surrender. I have to surrender to that. Or I have to deny that. See, and what the Holy Spirit is doing, he's showing me and he's teaching me to do what? Okay, John, this right here, you got to let go of this temper. You got to let go of this jealousy. You got to let go of this strife. You got to let it go. Surrender that to me. And when the light exposed that and I release that, you know what happens? He gives me power to have what? Influence over that. See, we're not going to have power to influence if we don't begin to surrender and allow God to transform us. allow the light to burn brighter in us. Amen? And see, whether you realize it or not, you know, that the light will get brighter as you begin to grow stronger in the Lord. The light will begin to grow brighter. And when the light grows brighter, you know what the world is saying? What's going on with you? How did you, I mean, what's going on with that? How did you do this? You know, they want to inquire about the light. And now it opens up opportunities for what? Witness. Okay? All right. So he said, we are the light of the world, a city that sit on a hill. How many know that's the church? We are the light of the world now. A city that's been set on the hill that cannot be hidden. And notice what he said in verse 16, I mean 15. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a what? Basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And how many know he's talking about your house? All that's in the house that's not like him, the light is exposing it. Not to embarrass anyone, but for you to say, what? Let it go and let the life become what? More abundantly in me. Let it have more influence in me. Let it have more the power of God coming out of me. Why? Because I'm surrendering all the dark areas. See, and some people say, well, God will expose you. I mean, no, God is not about exposing us. He's about what? Growing us up. See, correction, we got to get a mentality. Correction is not judgment. Some people think, well, you're judging me when you correct me. How many know that's not judgment? Correction is showing you where you're missing it. See, and the Holy Spirit has no respect of person. So what he's saying here, he said, let your light. Notice he said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may do what? See your what? Good works. Your good works. See, the good works is not what you've accomplished. The good works is not what I accomplish. The good work is the masterpiece. He said, you are his masterpiece created for what? Good works. That God has predestined from the beginning so that you will walk in them. So the good work, I can't boast on the goodness of what I've done. It's not me, but it's Christ in me, which is the hope of glory. See, and the work that he's doing in me is causing other people to see the good works of God and begin to what? Glorify the Father. We're not here to be glorifying one another. We're here to glorify him. And that's what the Holy Spirit said. When he's come, he will glorify me. But the problem is that humanity want to be glorified or recognized or have recognition. And God is saying, no, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the glorified Christ. The one that's on the inside of you that I'm looking at, the glory of God that I placed in you. It's not for me to boast in what I'm doing, but how many know I boast in what he's done in me? Well, okay. So he's saying, let your light shine. Notice the verb there saying let. He didn't say make it. There is a difference. Because what the Pharisees did, they tried to make their light shine. But Jesus said, nah, you're not the real deal. No, I've come. See, and life is through him, not through a religion. Not through an organization, not through a denomination. It's in him. And that's what Paul said. It is in him we live and move and have our being. See, it's in him. See, it's all in Christ. If I can relate anything to you, the light that has come is Christ on the inside of you, the life of God that's on the inside of you. And when Jesus said this, he said that if any man is in the light, guess what? He's not going to remain in darkness. The transformation is taking place. Why? Little by little, See, but a person in this day and time, people are trying to convince that that you don't have to read the Word of God. The Word of God is not relevant for today, so you just go about doing the best you can and being good to everybody. But how many know that's a lie? That's not true. The Bible is the life of God. I'm telling you, this is the bestseller. This is the only thing that you can read and cause your life to be transformed. You can try everything else under the sun. I'm telling you, it is no power like the Word of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Him. That's why Paul said these words. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." See, to do what? To change our lives. Amen? All right. Let's move on so I can I'm headed to home now. Okay? Let's look at Philippians. They say, "Oh Lord, when a preacher say that, oh Jesus." I'm not kidding you. Oh Lord, hold on, y'all. Now, this is our last scripture, not lest the Holy Spirit say different, okay? We gotta leave room for him, right? Okay. So light has come, and we're no longer in this darkness, but we're in the light. The life of God is the light of God. The life of God is the life of God, the light of God, okay, according to John. It's the life of God, okay? All right, I told you Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Okay. Give you a little time. He said, let's back up a couple of verses here. Let's go to 12, verse 12. He says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." That work there is the work that the Holy Spirit has worked in. Not that we work for salvation, but it's what the Spirit has worked in us. And now he's saying, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do and to work for his good," what? "Pleasure. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Who's working it in you? He is. God is. He's working it in us. See, so don't think it's strange when God starts tugging at your heart and wanting to, you know, trying to get you, let's get in this word here. Let's read Philippians. Let's read Colossians. Let's read this. Let's read that. What God is doing, he's giving you an appetite for that particular word, okay? And notice what it said in verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his," what? "Good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and" what? "Disputing," okay? "Complaining, grumbling." You know, oh Lord Jesus. How many know the saints can grumble sometimes? Yeah. Just get in that grumbling mood sometimes. Yeah. You know, when we just grumbling, you know, but you need to back up and look and see how good we really got it. I'm telling you how God has blessed us, you know, and we want to grumble. Amen. I mean, you know, we need to back up and, you know, analyze this thing. Why are you grumbling so? You know, I want to be grateful. Why? Because every day is an opportunity. Every day. You know, I'm excited about living for God every day. It's another opportunity. You know, you get to experience a lot of different things. I mean, you know, when you walk with God, you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, he just shows up and, you know, things begin to happen. But, you know, I've learned, John, quit grumbling and be thankful. So that, if you want to know why you don't need to grumble, look at your neighbor and say, "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach." In the midst, notice what he said, in the midst of what? "A crooked and perverse generation." You know, and sometimes we grumble, the world is just so bad. The world is, how many know they acting the way they should act? Why? Because they don't have Christ. But we have him. And so therefore, what we should be doing is doing what? Being light bearers. Being what? Being blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We know the generation is perverse. We know because we come out of it. You know, the world is distorted. We know that. But guess what? We have the answers. We know better. The grumbling, well, I hope you do. Okay? I hope you do. You know, well, you know, no, honey, let me tell you something. Grumbling won't get you nowhere. Dissatisfied, not thankful, not grateful. You know, think about what God has brought us from. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we need to be more thankful and not grumbling and complaining, you know, because how many know grumbling and complaining takes your energy, takes your strength? See, you know, it kind of, you know, irritates the inward part of you. But he's saying here in a perverse, see, let me tell you something. Think about this. God is saying to us, he's saying to be blameless and innocent children of God. Notice he didn't just say innocent children, but children of who? God. So if you were a child of God, you've been what? Born of God. And the Bible says whatsoever is born of God would do what? Overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See, but guess what? The world is not going to quit being the world. Why? Because the world is a fallen, it is corrupt. But as a child of God, we are the light of the world. And guess what? We're what the world need to be, what? Getting their nurturance and their life from. Why? Because we have life to give. Okay? But watch what he says here. In a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as what? Lights in the world. Look at your neighbor and say, we're the light of the world. You know, I think about that song that the praise team sing, I Have a Light, and it's always shining. It shines in the dark, and it shines in the night. When the dark days come, I will still be shining, for I have a light. And the light is the Lord, Jesus by name. Amen? So it's the light that's leading us to our heavenly home. He's leading us to our heavenly home. So what you got to understand, we live in a corrupt world, but don't worry about the corrupt world, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The light in you is greater than the darkness we face. So don't ever be afraid to say, hey, you know, I know that these old dark days, but guess what? We're the light of the world. Amen. We're a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And I'm telling you that the great days are ahead for the church. I'm telling you. You say, well, I just can't see it. Well, you're not reading your Bible, honey. I'm telling you. We live in a perverse world, but guess what? You got to look at David and all these guys lived in a time that there was a lot of perversion and stuff going on, but they made it. And guess who else? We're going to make it. Amen? We're going to overcome. We're going to make it. I'm telling you, because of the light that's on the inside of you. See, and that light cannot be put out. Why? Because it's God's light. Amen? Is that good news? Amen. That's good news. I'm telling you, it's not a gloom day for us. It's not a time, you know, for gloom and doom. God has brought, he's given us his son. A child has been born. The son has been given. And guess what? His name is Wonderful. Wonder Worker. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Amen. And guess what? He's my daddy. Yeah. Amen. And I'm enjoying the journey. I'm enjoying the journey. Amen. God bless you. Is there anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ? You have not come to the light. See, it's impossible to live with that light if you don't have accepted the light. See, and it's free, freely given. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, just raise your hand. We'll lead you to him. Amen. We'll introduce you to him. So I guess we're all a family this morning. Amen? Okay. All right. Okay, we have one angel tree right here, that this right here, this name tag over here. Don't everybody come at once. Now, if somebody would like to take that name, the gifts is due back. Okay. Okay. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. See, he's on his toes. He's spontaneous. Let me go get this. Okay, so it's due back next Sunday, Brother Chip. It's due back next Sunday. And thank you guys for taking that. All right, no one want to be saved. Okay, yes, sir. That didn't come out right, no. We family. Spiritual dads in the house. Kelly Duncan. Yes, there she is. You have an announcement for, we had a, yes, you do, yeah. Come on. We forgot about the open house.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Randy, come on up. There you go.
Having an open house at our school on Thursday from 3 to 4. This is to allow our students to share the survival skills that they have learned over the last 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. They've been studying those, and so they're doing an exhibition where you can walk through and learn from them the survival skills. So we would love to have you. It's open to anyone in the community. Yes, and it is for our school. Arise Christian Academy. Thank you. I was not prepared for this.
That's all right. You're doing good. You're doing good.
I can't breathe. Let me breathe.
Yeah. There you go. Breathe.
All right. Arise Christian Academy in Mooresboro. It's this Thursday from 3 to 4. And if you need the exact address, just see me.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. You did good. We put you on the spot, but you did good. Amen. All right. Next Sunday, we will be having our Christmas program. You know, so bring a friend, a family member, and come and be a part of that, you know, and wear something red and black and, you know, green, something that represents Christmas, okay? Pastor, would you like to say something? You good? Okay. All right. Thank you for reminding us of that. He's still working. Amen. Praise God. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Thank God for what he's doing. Father, we just thank you today, Lord. And Lord, as we depart from this place, Lord, but never your presence, Lord. And God, your presence is with us, Lord. And your word declares that you won't forsake us, Lord. And God, we thank you, Lord, that even in this season, Lord, that where the enemy would try to bring depression and sadness, Lord, we pray, God, that there would be such a joyous heart, God, in your people, Lord, that it would be contagious to those that we're around. So, Father, we thank you today for your word. We pray, God, that this word will just take root. And, God, we pray, God, that you would just watch over us, protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.